Well, hello and Merry Christmas. We thank you for connecting with our online service today, which is a video replay of our Christmas Eve service last night. We pray that you've had wonderful time with family or friends, loved ones. We pray you've had some yummy food, unwrapped some amazing presents, and we pray that your heart is full with the message of Jesus coming to earth to be with us. At the end of this service, we'll have a candlelight portion, so you may want to go ahead and grab a candle right now so you can participate at home. We're grateful for you. We're grateful that you have connected with us through the online system, but we would love for you to come meet us in person. We'd love to have a face-to-face relationship with you and know how we can be part of your life as you grow toward Christ and in your relationship with Him.
In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger."
Thank you.
gathers with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph, and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them.
Silent flocks.
But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them.
Thank you. If you have ever wondered what God was like, and many people do, that may even be why you are tuning into this service. Maybe you are searching to figure out who God is or what his character is like. And if that is you, you don't need to look any further than Christmas. Because at Christmas, God shows us his heart, that he wants to be with us, that he is willing to pursue us. Even when we have rejected him, and all of us have at one time or another, he still humbly comes to be where we are in order to be with us again. In the first chapter of Matthew's gospel, we read an account of Jesus' birth, and through that account, we can gain some insight into why he came to the earth. Because Matthew couches Jesus' birth in a long genealogical context. Matthew actually lists the names of about 40 generations of people who came before Jesus, and then he says that Jesus will be born, and he gives the reason for Jesus' birth. In other words, Jesus' arrival has something to do with these preceding 40-ish generations of people. Now, we won't read all of those names, of course, but for the Israelites in the first century who read or listened to Matthew's account of Jesus' life, they would have been very familiar with this long list of names in Jesus' genealogy. It would not have been boring for them to read Jesus' family history. They wouldn't have skipped that part if they were reading Matthew's gospel because they knew the stories attached to those names. Jesus' ancestors were actually rather infamous in Israel's history. In Matthew's list of names, you will find terribly broken people who had run away from God and hurt others in the process. It includes some of the most disturbing stories in the Bible, some of the darkest behaviors that you can imagine. And that is how Matthew sets up Jesus' arrival. Jesus' arrival is in some ways a response to those 40-ish generations, because Matthew says the reason Jesus came to earth was to be with us and to save us. Specifically, Matthew records what an angel told Mary's husband, Joseph. The angel said, "Mary will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save people from their sins, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. So God's reaction to a long list of dark and demented history is to come be with us and to save us. In other words, when people were totally off track with their lives, God's reaction was to pursue them, not to abandon them. That's who God is. That's one reason for this long list of names, to show us that God is willing to pursue even the worst of us. Now, we can't tell all the stories of all the names that Matthew lists. One, because we have a short amount of time, but two, because it would not be appropriate to share all the details of those stories when there might be kids watching this. But to give you an idea of the type of people who God chooses to be near and God chooses to save, some examples from Matthew chapter 1. Matthew specifically calls out Judah and his brothers in verse 2, who you may or may not remember, but Judah and his brothers sold one of their other brothers into slavery. They trafficked someone from their own family. Now, I dare say our impulse is not to go be with people like that. Instead, we want to get away from people like that. We want to pretend that kind of evil doesn't exist, but God, unlike us, responds to that level of depravity. And again, this is one of Matthew's points by putting in the genealogy. God responds to people like that by coming to be with them, being Emmanuel to them, to save them, to redeem them, to restore them. After Judah and his brothers, Matthew also mentions Tamar, verse 3, who, I can't tell you the full story in church. But you can go read it, Genesis 38. It is about a father and his daughter-in-law, and it is about as twisted as you can get. I'm telling you, if you go read it, you would not want to be near those people. But yet, both of those characters and their children are part of the family history into which Jesus arrives, which means, again, God's response is to come and be with people like that to save them, to repair what is broken. After Tamar, Matthew mentions King David, verse 6, and then not by name, but he also includes Bathsheba. And David and Bathsheba are famous enough, you have probably heard of them, but the brief story is that Bathsheba wasn't always married to David. First, she was married to a man named Uriah, and Uriah was one of David's inner circle guys. They were called King David's mighty men. They were like secret service that protected the king. But in addition to being bodyguards, they were also very close friends with the king, like brothers. They had bled together on the battlefield. But David betrays his friend, his blood brother, Uriah, and he betrays God. And David uses his power to lure, entice, maybe even overpower Bathsheba to be with him instead of being with her husband, Uriah. And then David has Uriah killed so that he can be free to marry Bathsheba himself. So David is a cheater. He commits the worst kind of infidelity. He's a murderer. And he is likely someone who used his power to exploit a woman and get what he wanted from her. If someone does that in our world, we cancel them. We demand they step down. We remove them from their position of power. We send them to jail. We're outraged. And I'm not saying we shouldn't be. God is outraged too, more than us. But he doesn't cancel. He doesn't abandon. He doesn't run away. Instead, he responds by saying, "I am coming to be with people like that. I'm coming to be Emmanuel with them. I'm coming to save. I'm coming to redeem." Over and over and over again, God pursues the most broken people that we can imagine, people who have done almost unspeakably dark and harmful deeds. Just imagine being a first century Israelite and reading this genealogy, and imagine it's the first time that you've ever read Matthew or learned anything about Jesus at all. Someone just hands you a copy of the book and you say, like, okay, I'll give it a skim. And you begin reading these names and you're thinking about all the stories associated with all these names. You might feel pain or sorrow or shame that people in your national history could have done what they did. And so you might be anticipating what Matthew might say next after listing these generations of terrible brokenness. And if you were anticipating what Matthew may say next, you probably would not think he was about to say, "So God came here to be with us and save us." You would probably not think that is where Matthew was going to go with the story. Instead, you would probably think that Matthew was rehashing all of this shame to set up something like fire and brimstone, vengeance from the Lord. You know, there's been like generationally compounding wickedness. So how would you anticipate that God is about to respond? You would probably expect the next page to have the angel of death or something. God is going to smash humanity to pieces. But then Matthew, in a total shocker, says, after generations of wickedness, God responds by coming here to be with us, to save us. There may not be a better way to know what God is like, to know what his character is. Because how God, or anyone else for that matter, responds to their enemies, responds to evil, that probably tells us more about their character than how they respond when everything is peaceful and pleasant and calm and good. Because it is easy to be loving, patient, kind, generous when everyone around you is doing exactly what they are supposed to do. It's easy then, right, parents? We probably all look like fantastic parents when our kids are acting perfectly. We probably all look like great bosses or coworkers when everyone on the team is producing at maximum efficiency and there is no drama. You know, so we don't really learn much about anyone by watching them when things are going really well. It's when things have gone totally sideways. And when we see someone respond, then that's when we can really learn about their character. And Matthew puts Jesus' birth into that exact context. People have committed disastrous acts. They've been monstrous, dark, sinful. And then God comes near us to save us. He comes near us to save us. God didn't run away from those crises. God didn't run away from the darkness. God didn't run away from us. God didn't even run away from the most vile of us. He comes to us. He runs toward us, toward our mess. That is God's heart. That is what God is like. That's what Christmas tells us. So for anyone listening who asks, could I ever possibly be reconciled to God? Could God ever forgive me? Could God ever accept me? Could God ever want someone like me after what I've done? To anyone asking those questions, the resounding answer from Christmas is yes. He came for people exactly like you. He came for people exactly like me, for people who know that they are broken. He came to be near us, to be with us, to save us, redeem us. That's Christmas. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he would be willing to be with people exactly like us, that he would leave the comforts of heaven to be near us, to save us, to redeem us. I pray that you would fill our hearts with him this season and always. We pray all this and ask in his name. Amen. One way that we traditionally represent Christ coming into the world, the light coming into the darkness, is by lighting candles and singing Silent Night. So as the light spreads across our sanctuary, you can get a candle at home and light it and join us in singing Silent Night.